You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together.
Hi, everyone. This is Tracy today, and I'm here with a guest, Minnow Hamilton. Today, we're going to be talking about mompreneurs, and Minnow is a very successful mompreneur. She is the co-founder and managing editor of Savvy Mom Media. When we look for a definition for mompreneur, a mompreneur is a female business owner who is actively balancing the role of mom and the role of entrepreneur. And we know for sure that Minnow Hamilton is doing just that. Welcome, Minnow.
Thank you, Tracy. It's great to be here.
I'd like you to start from the beginning. We know that you're a mother of two, and just tell us a little bit about yourself and start from maybe when you first became a mom and how you became a mompreneur.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Firstly, I've got two boys, and they're aged 10 and 8. They're actually very close in age together, 18 months. So sometimes I feel like I've got four boys, but really there's only two of them. And so I did become a mom about 10 years ago, obviously. And I was at the time a marketing executive. I worked for a marketing agency. And we worked on a lot of our clients were packaged goods companies, some of which we are now advertising with or putting ads up for on Savvy Mom through our newsletter and our website. So it's an interesting kind of combination going back to the clients that I used to represent that now I'm serving them with Savvy Mom. At any rate, I stayed in marketing for a few years, and I actually was a stay-at-home mom for a few years in between as well when the children were very young. And during that time, I obviously was very busy with the children, still kind of kept in touch with everybody in my marketing world in my old working days, and always with the vision of going back to it, but recognizing that the irony in that I was working all those years targeting moms, and I really had no idea what I was doing when I was in my early and mid-20s without children, not having been a mom, and then spending all these days literally trolling the supermarket aisles and going to the toy stores and really understanding a little bit more about the mindset of the people that I had previously been marketing to. I thought to myself, you know, there's definitely something in this. We need to reach these moms in a different way than we, you know, always have been traditionally. So with that in mind and with the onset of email and websites and technology with the .com sort of coming back after their mid-80s or late 80s and 90s. So I was having coffee with an old friend from university discussing some business ideas. And we both sort of blurted out at the same time about starting an online publishing company, but specifically newsletters that we could deliver through email to moms. And I guess we had both subscribed to similar publications that were targeted to women in general, and we were enjoying reading them, both from the United States and from Canada, but we thought that there was something missing. You know, these are great products for what they were doing, but we realized that there were moms out there that could use something that was a little bit more relevant to their, you know, to our lifestyles.
Yeah.
So my business partner, Sarah Morgenstern, at the time was working as a management consultant, and I was actually just finished a contract that I'd worked on and was looking for something new. And I spent some time doing the research and pretty much every week sent her an email saying, please quit your job and come and work with me. And after about 6 months, I finally convinced her to do so. And Savvy Mom was born. And it's interesting, actually, because to the day that we had that original coffee, the story is actually on our website, but the day that we had that original coffee to the date that we launched Savvy Mom was about a 9-month period.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And so the day that we launched Savvy Mom was like, you know, the child was born.
Wow.
And just as when children are born, you focus for 9 months on that day, on that launch date or that birth date.
Yeah.
And then once the child is born or the business is launched, Tracy, you know all about this, you realize, oh, my gosh, there's a whole new skill set I need to learn now in terms of running this business or raising this child.
Yeah, just like being a mom.
It's so true. The analogies are scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. So, and I think most mompreneurs would probably have similar stories in that once they decide on their launch date or once they get their product to market or however, you know, whatever the business is, you know, you spend a lot of time preparing for that day and then you have to run a business. And that's a whole other ballgame, wouldn't you say, Tracy?
Yes, I would. And do you, Are you mainly self-taught? Did you find that you just really had no other options but to teach yourself?
Yes. I mean, I think Sarah and I are very fortunate in that we our combined backgrounds have worked very well in terms of running our business. The big part of it, though, to be perfectly honest, is we were not as strong on the technical side, which is ironic because here we are running an online business.
Uh-huh.
And luckily, there's enough people out there who can support us in that. And so we found a great web support company called The Wire. So they set us up with our website and they do all of that. And we, a bit naively, I would say, started off thinking that they can do the tech stuff, we'll do the writing and the publishing and the marketing. As I said, when it's your own business, you actually have to understand how this beast is working.
You do, yeah.
So there was a very steep learning curve on our part in terms of understanding the technical side of things. And so I think we were able now to understand how and why it works.
Yeah.
But we don't need to do the programming or the technical things ourselves.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so that's worked out well. And the rest of it has sort of drawn on our core competencies that we've been able to develop over the years of working.
Do you find balancing your work and family a challenge, Minnow?
I do. And I think that most women that you'll speak to, whether they're working full-time or part-time, and in fairness, all moms, whether they're working or not and in what level, I think that balance is really the word of today for moms. Whether they're trying to balance their own personal time with their family time, if they're staying at home, you can get really swept up in the day-to-day lives of your children and the school and the activities and not put enough time aside for yourself. And then, of course, working moms trying to balance everything else as well. I think the one thing that Sarah and I both agree on is that instead of trying so hard to find that balance all the time, we've decided to kind of almost give up on the balance and say, you know what? We're lucky that we have very full lives.
Good.
And if you take that attitude, it has really helped for us because, you know, we're fortunate that we have our own businesses and successful careers. We have our children and our family life, and we're trying to sort of focus on that side of it instead of always feeling overwhelmed with what is on our plate.
Good.
I think that's a general perspective that helps. With that, on the practical level, you really need to be able to delegate and ask for help.
So tell me a little bit more about how you do it all. How do you get it all done? Just getting right down to the nuts and bolts of things when we're talking
okay.
about working, cooking, cleaning, children.
Yeah.
Are you a one-woman show, or do you, obviously you reach out for help, but you must have a plan.
I do. I've had a plan, and it's evolved over time. One thing that I've noticed a big difference in since we started our company, and our office was originally in my home,
mm-hmm.
which was complicated
yeah.
for many reasons because it was more chaotic in kind of our family life. But with that, it gave my family a very clear understanding of how hard we were working at Savvy Mom mm-hmm. and how much of my time was dedicated and what was, you know, even from my kids' perspective of understanding how they, you know, they're old enough now to understand that they need to help out too in certain ways.
Now, but if you don't mind, where was your office located in your home?
On the main floor.
It was right.
Yeah.
Right near the kitchen, family room. We were.
Yeah, it's not a huge house. And our house is open concept.
Right. Okay.
So we literally were in the front room, which is a large room. It had previously been my husband's office, so it was set up as an office space, sort of
okay.
like a den slash office.
Yeah.
And he had worked from home for a while, but then was doing consulting, so he's back and forth. So we had it set up, which was great, as an office space already, but we did a little bit more work there. But literally, when my children would come home from school, they would pass by the office first before they went into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it even more obvious is that the doors had glass windows.
Okay.
So they
I
could
gotcha.
See through.
Yes, I used to have an office like that too.
Right. So we'd be sitting on a conference call and the door would slam. The children would come, throw the knapsacks, mm-hmm. knock on the door, wave, or just start walking
up.
In.
We'd say, stop. Put your hand up like a big stop sign. Right?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
I've done there, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. But from the point of view of having it at home, there it was more chaotic, and I felt myself sort of torn sometimes of where I should be in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I also found a big change in the help that I was able to kind of muster up from my family, my children,
mm-hmm.
and particularly my husband. He was great.
Good.
And it happened at a time when he switched careers, and he had a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
So he was able to help out around the house. And I had to actually give up. I mean, I had to sort of surrender a bit of control that I had had over the whole household and food and meals and such. So, you know, I might not have loved every single dinner that we had because it wasn't the one that I chose or bought the food for. But it was nice that I didn't do it. Yeah. So there's a control issue, I think, that you have to give up on. And my husband was great and decided, okay, so I'm going to start. I'll do the kids' lunches from now on in the evenings because I know you're working late at night.
Yeah.
I said, that's great. But then I started telling him what to make for lunch. And he wasn't so happy about that. So I had to let him figure out what they'll eat and what they won't eat. And, you know, and he figured it out in time. And now we've got our systems in place. So that was one thing that, you know, little things like that.
Who does the grocery shopping?
I still do the grocery shopping.
Fun.
We tried a few weeks of my husband doing the grocery shopping and I just, you know.
Didn't work, right?
Yeah. So, and I love food too. Food and cooking is one of, I mean, that's what I would like to do in my spare time. So, you know, everyone has their preferences. That would be mine. So I just like to have control over what food is in the house. And then the other thing is that I do have help now for the children after school.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah. And that's made a big difference in our lives. So it's an investment, but it's helped a lot. And it certainly helped now that we've got a new office. It gives me a couple more hours out of the day to finish up and then come home.
Good.
To see them.
Yeah. So how far away from home is your office?
I'm only 10 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
I'm only 10 minutes, and that's the same distance I am from school. So I'm still available if I need to be. Mm-hmm. And I can always work from home if I have to, so it's not a problem.
Great.
And we try and work it out so that 2 days a week I leave the office early and I can be home after school.
Oh, that's nice.
And pick them up, yeah.
Yeah. Very, very.
So it's flexible.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you obviously just love what you do. You sound so content and so happy.
I love it.
You've really got it together.
Well, thank you. I don't know if I always feel like I've got it together, but...
But it's fun trying all the time, right?
Yes, exactly.
You know, if you could give one piece of parental advice to other moms, what would that be?
That's a tough question. I guess the first thing that's popping to mind is just not to sweat the spa stuff and to choose your battles.
Good. Very good.
That's sort of the same message, I think. I think, you know, anyone who has more than one child will probably attest to the fact that, you know, with every single change in development with your children, you worry about, will this develop into something bigger or worse? And then if you, you know, by your second or even your third, you're able to assess a little bit more with each stage what developments are actually worth worrying about.
Yes.
Whereas the first time, you just don't know which ones.
No.
So if you could only have that wisdom the first time around, but you just can't.
No, you can't.
So that's why sometimes it's nice not to be too overly involved and maintain some kind of a perspective.
Yeah, that's good advice. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about worrying about our children and how it seems that women worry more than men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when our children are born, we automatically get this package of worry that we start with.
Oh, it's before they're born.
Yeah.
When we're pregnant.
Yes, exactly. It's like we get this big box of worry.
Yep.
And the more children that we have, the less we worry about each child. Because it's like, okay, you've got to spend, you know, an hour a day worrying.
Right.
And if you only have one child, then you worry about that one child for an hour a day. But if you have three children...
It's like pieces of the pie.
Yeah.
And you're right.
You know, and then I've got one child that I hardly ever worry about, but, you know, he's just so normal, and I know that, and sometimes I feel guilty because I don't worry about him as much as I worry.
Yeah, I know, and then maybe he'll go through a stage where something will happen, you'll have to worry about him, they all take turns, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I know, I agree with you, I think there's only so much room we have for worry, and we have to share it, and with whether it's amongst all your children or your entire family, like your extended family, your job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it's definitely there for a reason. I think there's a reason why we have the worry box. And it's got to be part of that, like, hormone injection that we get when we're pregnant the first time. Because it's a maternal thing.
It is. It is. You know, and I'll say to my husband, well, aren't you worried? You
know? Yeah.
And he'll say, no.
Yeah. And then what about worrying about ourselves? Did you ever think to ourselves, am I the only one who's worrying about this?
Yeah.
My husband will say, well, you know, it's something like, you know, not self-absorbed, but he'll say something like, you know, you've got to stop thinking about this. I'm, well, I've got, no one else is going to worry about me except for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, one day my husband said to me, you know, I was naming off my worries, and he said, oh, to live in your body.
Yeah.
You poor thing.
Yeah, it must be tough being you.
It is. Yeah, it's a woman thing. That's a whole show. I mean, we could dissect. I bet we could really.
I agree. That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, definitely. One more question, and you did bring up your hubby, and and it sounds like you work well together.
I've trained him.
Well, that's partly a question. How do you stay connected? And
that's a good question.
Yeah, do you do any advice or?
You know, we have tried to do date night, and we're not succeeding at it.
Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise.
I know. I love the concept of it.
It's a great concept.
I mean, you really have to be dedicated to that. I don't think that we've tried it so many times, but there's something a little bit too contrived about it for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just having the open dialogue. Even we'll be having dinner with another couple, and he'll be talking to the other husband, and I'll hear something about his week, and I'll say, "You didn't tell me that. Mm-hmm. How come I don't know that?" He'll say, "I haven't talked to you all week." And then we look at each other and think, "Oh, my gosh." And then the next day, we'll make sure we go for a long walk, or we just have to constantly keep an open dialogue so that we can find ways each day and each week to keep each other posted.
Yeah.
And we also have developed a system for the one big thing is also for booking times and dates and like for our social calendar and our kids' social and sport calendar and our work calendar. So we've sort of developed a system so that we can keep each other posted on everything so that we're at least on top of that.
Oh, good.
Sort of on a logistical side.
Yeah. Do you have a calendar, like one shared calendar? Do you do it online?
We do. Yeah, we have like a shared calendar online that we use. And then we have our fridge calendar for the family. And we sort of every Sunday night we go through the week. And we look at our weeks and what we have coming up, and we make sure that everyone knows what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's worked for us on a logistical side, but from the kind of more emotional side, it's just constant awareness, I think, and like awareness that we have to constantly work at this.
Yeah.
And not take it for granted.
Good for you.
I mean, it's a work in progress, too. We don't spend enough time together right now, and we know that.
Yeah. But who does?
I mean. Well, and the other thing that I was going to say that has worked for us as a family is we've really worked hard at trying to have family dinners.
Yes.
And that's a priority for us right now.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
We have a family dinner challenge coming up on CanadianParents.com.
Oh, good.
Really promoting family dinners. So.
Good. Well, you know what, Tracy? There's a great book that we just reviewed last week in an article. And it's called The Power of Family Meals.
Oh.
And it has really, really amazing information and statistics on how, like, the positive effects of eating as a family. As kids get older, too, so I would recommend that.
That's really good. That has been our absolute touchstone throughout our kids' lives as
really?
Family dinners, yeah.
That's nice to hear.
Not
and it was for me as a child growing up.
Me, too.
Yeah.
It is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, family dinners are really important. And often the kids will have friends over for dinner, too, or, you know, if the friends are here, you never know who could be at our table. And it's amazing the kids who don't do that at their house. Like, they just think this is really weird.
I know.
It's kind of sad, really.
It's just everything is so busy right now.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you know, because I think you've got some older kids too, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they're all teenagers now.
Yeah, and it's different ages and stages. And I just sort of feel right now that we're at one of the peak busy times with kids' schedules because we're still at an age where we're taking them, like they're busier with their sports and activities that are always after school and on the weekends, and we're still taking them there and kind of staying with them.
Yeah.
Whereas in a couple of years, we can either drop them off or they'll get there themselves.
Yeah.
You know? So we're doing all of their activities plus our businesses. So if we can carve out some time for family dinner, even if you have to eat at 5:30, we'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even if you do pick up bus with chalet or whatever, you still sit at the table and the TV's not on.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have enjoyed this conversation, Minnow. You are just a lovely, lovely person. And
thank you, Tracy.
I love Savvy Mom. And for everyone listening, Minnow and Sarah's site is savvymom.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sign up for your newsletter on the site, right?
Yes, exactly. You'll see a big sign-up button on the site that says, sign up, get savvy for Savvy Mom, and then you can sign up for any of our city editions, Toronto, Vancouver, Ottawa, Calgary, or our anywhere edition, which doesn't matter where you live. You'll receive an article on Tuesday mornings, and the city editions come out on Thursday. So they're twice weekly newsletters, and they're all posted and archived on the website.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Tracy.
Thank
it was
you.
A pleasure.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.